You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
This is Kick-Ass Politics. I'm Ben Mathis. If you're listening for the first time, this is a preview station for Kick-Ass Politics, where I put up a few sample episodes for you to check out. I hope you enjoy this episode, and if you like it, then I encourage you to go to our main program at Kick-Ass Politics and subscribe to the show. There are a lot more episodes there. Just search for Kick-Ass Politics on iTunes, or if you go to the information page for this episode on iTunes, there's a link right there to subscribe to the main show. Also, feel free to check out our webpage at kickasspolitics.com, where you'll find show notes, book recommendations, and all kinds of extras. I'm Ben Mathis, and I hope you enjoy this preview of Kick-Ass Politics. This podcast is sponsored by Fiverr. You've heard me carrying on about them before. It's the world's largest online marketplace for services, with over 100 categories all offered for a fixed base price of just $5. Graphic design, business consulting, marketing, web design, transcription, proofreading, voiceover artists, and even legal consulting, and just about any other service you can possibly imagine, all offered at a fixed base price of just $5. And right now, they've partnered with Vistaprint to offer 35% off printing services from Vistaprint when printing a design from Fiverr. That means you can go to Fiverr and commission someone to design your logo, your cards, monogram, Photoshop a picture for you, whatever, and then Vistaprint will give you a whopping 35% off just for printing a design from Fiverr. It can be business cards, postcards, flyers, t-shirts, coffee mugs, baseball caps, tote bags, mouse pads, you name it, they can smack your logo on it. To take advantage of this deal, go to our site at kickasspolitics.com and visit our sponsor page. There you'll find a Fiverr link just for our listeners and that promo code to get 35% off from Vistaprint. You all know I'm a big fan of Fiverr, and if you haven't checked it out, now's the time to do so. Whatever you need done, find it on Fiverr. And now, enjoy the show. Hi there, and welcome to Kick-Ass Politics. I'm your host, Ben Mathis. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you read the Constitution? Or how about the Bill of Rights? If you're like most Americans, probably not since high school government class. Well, I took some time to reread our founding documents the other day, and in doing so, I was blown away by just how much these old fellows in powdered wigs got it right. I mean really, really got it right. So right, in fact, that in the 227 years since the creation of the Constitution, we've only made 27 changes or additions to it. As it's written, it's a work of art. A near-perfect blueprint for good government. So if that's the case, then how come things are so, well, screwed up? Well, the Founding Fathers were actually very specific about what the federal government can do and what it can't do. They also took great care to explicitly protect the rights of individuals and the states from federal overreach. But just like most legal documents, there's always a loophole somewhere. And today, there's no shortage of politicians, judges, and bureaucrats eager to exploit that and purposefully misinterpret our founding documents to suit their own agenda. Well, today, we're going to get a refresher course in the Constitution with my guest, Senator Mike Lee of Utah. You might say he knows a thing or two about the Constitution. Before winning election to the U.S. Senate, he worked as assistant U.S. attorney arguing cases before the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and then he served as general counsel to Governor John Huntsman of Utah, and later as a legal clerk to Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito. In 2010, he defeated incumbent Bob Bennett to become the junior senator from the state of Utah. Since then, Mike Lee has distinguished himself in the Senate as perhaps the biggest champion of the Constitution, advocating limited government, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberty. Senator Lee has just written a new book called Our Lost Constitution, The Willful Subversion of America's Founding Document. In it, he says many of his colleagues in the House and Senate either don't really understand the Constitution they're sworn to uphold, or don't care to make the hard decisions necessary to protect it. And he's got a lot more to say on it in just a moment. Stay tuned.
From Hollywood to Washington, it's time for Kick-Ass Politics. And now here's your host, Ben Mathis.
I'm joined on the podcast today by Senator Mike Lee of Utah. He's written a new book called Our Lost Constitution, The Willful Subversion of America's Founding Document. Senator Lee, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
I'll tell you, I wish I had a book like this in high school government class, because you really have a knack for prose and for telling the stories that bring this document to life. And in reading it, I get the sense that this is personal for you. I mean, you're a U.S. senator. You're obviously a very busy man. I'm sure that the last thing you need on your plate is another project. So tell me, why did you decide to write this book now?
After serving in the United States Senate for more than 4 years, it's become very apparent to me that we need to have the Constitution become much more of an integral part of our national political discourse in this country. And so my experiences in the Senate are things that I drew from in deciding that the book needed to be written. And I also include insight for how we can change that, how we can reintroduce the Constitution into our national political discussion. I explain how to do that in the book, and I use stories behind the Constitution, behind its drafting, its ratification, and its neglect over the years to explain both the need for it and the meaning behind it. And it's an important part of restoring it.
Well, you come to the subject from a unique perspective, and your love affair with the Constitution apparently has pretty deep roots. Your father served as the U.S. Solicitor General, and you talk about as a young boy, you actually got to watch your dad argue cases before the Supreme Court. You've also talked about how the Constitution wasn't some distant, abstract idea for you growing up, because it was actually a frequent topic at your family dinner table. So tell us what that was like and how that shaped your passion for our founding fathers and our founding document.
No, that's right. And I think I was about 30 before I realized not every family had discussions like that. But it was something that we talked about a lot in our home. And as I got older and as I started raising my own children and started teaching them about the Constitution, I realized with a little help from my wife that people can understand the Constitution and appreciate it much more if you can tell stories behind it, if you can introduce this document to them as part of a story. And so that's what I do in this book. For example, I tell stories like the one about how Alexander Hamilton showed up at the Constitutional Convention and actually proposed a monarchy. I tell stories behind Hamilton trying to examine why he might have done that and explain all the reasons why his idea was so soundly rejected and what kind of thinking it reflected among the founding generation.
Well, yes, and the stories really bring the Constitution and the whole process behind it to life, which is so important because it's hard to get today's generation to realize how relevant it still is and to take an interest, but not even just for young people. You say that a large part of the problem in government today is that many senators and congressmen don't really bother to take the time to understand the very documents they're sworn to uphold. Do you feel that that's reflected in the way that many senators and congressmen legislate?
Yes, unfortunately, there is an environment in Washington that leads a lot of lawmakers in a position where when they're asked about the constitutionality of a particular provision, they're likely to think of that question as basically being what will the Supreme Court do with this? In other words, they think of the Constitution as a thing for the courts and not a thing for us, when really we ought to be doing our own independent analysis, regardless of whether the Supreme Court is going to say no to something. There are instances where we might need to say no, even if the Supreme Court lets it slide, or even if it never gets challenged in court. And I explain why that is the case in my book, and I also explain how people can tell whether someone running for the U.S. Senate or the House of Representatives has these kinds of questions in mind, and how they can help shape our national political discourse in a way that will help restore our lost Constitution.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point, because you talk a lot about how legislators pass laws, but then they don't go into the details, and then agencies are left to go hog wild and create regulations that essentially have the effect of law and spend enormous amounts of money, because you say that legislators want the benefit of passing a law, but they don't want the responsibilities of having the details come back to bite them.
Yes, that's exactly right. As I explain in my book, I have these two stacks of documents in my office that sort of illustrate the kinds of problems that this sort of thinking produces. I've got one stack of documents that's 11 feet tall. It's 80,000 pages long, and it consists of all the regulations announced, released for public and comment, and finalized last year by executive branch bureaucracies. 80,000 pages. The other stack of documents that's right next to that one is just a few inches tall. It's only a few hundred pages long, and it consists of the laws passed by Congress last year. The executive branch bureaucrats, while well-educated and well-intentioned, hardworking, and highly specialized, they are not elected by the people. They don't stand accountable to the people at regular intervals. And as a result, they produce a lot of law that doesn't make sense. Now, and it's also wrong that most of this law is being produced by people who aren't elected, and it's wrong that members of Congress who are elected are passing the buck by purporting to pass laws when really they're just delegating it to somebody else. So as I explain in the book, Congress will pass a law, for example, saying something like, "We shall have clean air," and we hereby give the EPA the power to decide what clean air is, what pollution is, what happens to polluters, and then the same agency that makes those laws also gets to enforce them. And so it creates a huge separation of powers problem, and it also diminishes political accountability in the system, which is wrong.
Well, I have to think that this doesn't make you a very popular guy on Capitol Hill. How do you sell your fellow lawmakers on this idea of taking on more responsibility?
My fellow senators and my friends who are congressmen are themselves not the immediate target audience. The immediate target audience is the American voter, because I think that the American voter can change this simply by voting differently, by asking a different set of questions when talking to someone who's running for the House or for the Senate, whether for the first time or for re-election. And I explained the questions that you can ask to help prompt this move toward restoring our lost Constitution in my book.
Yeah, well, you would think that that's the kind of thing that all Americans could get on board with. But I suspect that many people don't really understand how this affects their lives. For instance, you talk about how these federal agencies are free to enact whatever regulations they want, no matter how costly. And these regulations don't just affect large industries, because those companies have to pass that cost on to the consumer, essentially amounting to a hidden tax on all Americans. And you say that that hidden tax now amounts to $2 trillion a year. Is that right?
$2 trillion a year. Now, that's about two-thirds of what our tax system costs us, our federal tax system costs us. $2 trillion a year. And we have to remember that there are a lot of people who would have to believe otherwise. These are costs that are not simply shouldered by big, wealthy corporations. All of these costs are passed downstream. They're passed downstream, and they make everything we buy more expensive. They lead to higher prices for goods and services in the marketplace. They lead to diminished wages, and they lead to unemployment. All these things disproportionately impact poor and middle-class Americans. And so the modern regulatory state might be good for bureaucrats. It might make life easier for members of Congress, but it's very bad for the American people.
Yes, well, in an effort to get the cost of these regulations under control, you sponsored a bill called the RAINS Act that says any regulations issued by a federal agency that have significant economic impact of over $100 million or more must be enacted into law by Congress. What is the status of that?
Okay, so the RAINS Act, and you did a great job summarizing it right there, pointing out that it would really restore political accountability to the lawmaking process, putting it back in the hands of those who are elected to make law. It has passed the House of Representatives each year for the last 4 years in a row. It has yet to receive a vote in the Senate. And that needs to change. I intend to make sure that we get a vote on the RAINS Act in the Senate sometime this year. This is something that needs to pass into law, and really is not partisan. It's not ideological. It's simply a constitutional concern. It's making sure that we don't have new laws created, laws that make everything Americans do more expensive and time-consuming, without Congress having to pass those major regulations into effect.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty common sense idea that the government shouldn't be able to do something that makes major financial impact without at least someone having to go on record and take responsibility for it. It's a good idea. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and then I'll be back to talk more with Senator Mike Lee about our lost Constitution and how we can take it back. Back in just a moment. Hey, folks, if you enjoy listening to podcasts like this, you know what you'd really love? Audiobooks. They're great entertainment for your morning commute or your workout while you're cleaning the house or just unwinding before bed. And right now, Audible.com has a special promotion for listeners of Kick-Ass Politics, a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you can check out the over 180,000 titles offered by Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/kickasspolitics, or you can click on the link on our website at kickasspolitics.com to get your free audiobook. And if you like what we're doing here at Kickass Politics and you want to help keep us on the air, then please show your support for the show and make a donation by going to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickasspolitics. That's GoFundMe.com/kickasspolitics. Or go to the show website and click on the donate link. Your support will help keep us producing new and even more interesting programs in the future. That's gofundme.com/kickasspolitics. I appreciate your encouragement and support. We're back, and I'm talking with Senator Mike Lee about his new book, Our Lost Constitution. Before the break, we were talking about how regulations coming out of executive agencies essentially amount to a $2 trillion tax on the American people. And no one even voted these regulations into law. No one is held accountable for them. But believe it or not, it gets worse. Because, Senator, as you point out in your book, there are currently 300,000 criminally enforceable regulations from various federal agencies out there. And people are actually going to jail for violating these arbitrary regulations that no one even enacted into law.
Yes, that's right. In fact, no one in the government will tell you how many crimes, how many federal crimes there are out there, in part because of all these regulatory criminal penalties that are on the books through our federal bureaucracies. This too is a major problem, and again, it's a problem that focuses on both of the two protections that the founding fathers put in place to protect us from the harm that can come from the excessive accumulation of power in the hands of the few. They adopted a vertical protection, which keeps most of the power close to the people at the state and local level, and we call that federalism. And there's a horizontal protection that separates the legislative power from the executive power from the judicial power. But what we've seen is that both of these protections have been broken down by Congress, as Congress has shifted an extraordinary amount of state and local power to the federal government, within the federal government, they've shifted an extraordinary amount of power over to the executive branch, power that ought to remain within the legislative branch.
What are some of the other areas that give you grave concern for our founding documents at this point?
Well, one area relates to the Fourth Amendment. I tell the story in my book of a man named John Wilkes, not to be confused with John Wilkes Booth, who was Lincoln's assassin. John Wilkes was a man who served in the British Parliament in the late 1700s. And John Wilkes was critical of King George III. He sometimes criticized King George in his weekly circulars that were called the North Briton. They were numbered, sort of like the Federalist Papers were. And it was North Briton number 45 that finally led to the arrest of John Wilkes. And when they came to arrest him, they also searched his person, they searched his house, they rifled through all of his papers, and they were using a warrant that didn't specifically identify any single person or any particular place to be searched. It just basically said, go out and get those who were being critical of the king. And John Wilkes ended up waging a long-standing, prolonged, but ultimately victorious fight in court over this abuse of power by the administration of King George III. And as a result, he became famous on both sides of the Atlantic. The number 45, referring back to North Briton 45, the publication that had gotten him arrested, became synonymous not only with the cause of freedom, but also with John Wilkes himself. He was a hero in America and throughout England. And it was this attachment to John Wilkes and the principles that he embraced and that he publicly and nobly championed that gave rise to the Fourth Amendment to our Constitution, which, for reasons I explain in my book, is now under assault in some ways, in ways that I think would shock the founding generation and be of grave concern to John Wilkes, in that the federal government is now collecting data on cell phone usage of every American, who they call, who calls them, when the calls occur, how long they last, going back 5 years. And as I explain in my book, there are some similarities between this and the kind of general warrant that John Wilkes criticized so harshly in England, which influenced the development of the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah, well, I have to think that things like this, it would just infuriate our founding fathers. Do you feel that we're straying from the founding documents at a faster pace in recent history than we were over our entire history as a country?
Oh, I think so. Certainly there has been a trend since the late 1930s, since the mid-1930s, really. But it has intensified in recent years as this administration has felt more and more content with pulling more and more power and more economic resources into the federal government and then consolidating those resources within the executive branch of the federal government. The passage of laws like Obamacare and like Dodd-Frank have created many hundreds and hundreds of new authorities for executive branch bureaucrats to basically make new law, and that has compounded the problem even further. So while we've been on this drift for about 80 years, it has intensified in recent years. But with that intensification, the American people have awakened to the fact that things are not as they should be. And it's time for us to identify that the fact that there are parts of our Constitution that have been neglected, neglected that we can call them part of our lost Constitution. But our lost Constitution, as I explain in my book, can be restored. It can, it must, and I believe it will.
That's right. In the last chapter, you do talk about what the average citizen can do to restore the Constitution. What are some of the other things that the average person can do?
Well, first of all, it helps to read the book. Read the Constitution and read my book about the Constitution,
right,
telling the stories behind it. Because if you know the stories behind it, you can help explain to others its importance. It also helps, as I explain in the book, to be equipped to ask questions about what each person running for the House or for the Senate has in mind in terms of the balance of power between state and federal governments. As I explain in the book, the federal government was supposed to be one of limited enumerated powers, powers that James Madison described as few and defined, while the powers reserved to the states would be numerous and indefinite. We've flipped that that principle on its head over the last 80 years, and we need to find a way to restore this concept, which I call federalism, the idea that most government decisions need to be made closer to where most of the people are. And this is a principle, as I explained, that is neither Democratic nor Republican. It's neither conservative nor liberal. It's simply an American principle. It's a principle that allows more people to get more of the kind of government they want and less of the kind of government they don't want.
Well, it's certainly a terrific read, and I think it really brings our founding documents to life for people. So I highly recommend that people read it. It's Our Lost Constitution, The Willful Subversion of America's Founding Document by Senator Mike Lee of Utah. Before we go, I just have to ask you, I've heard this story before. I heard that you were once locked in a garage by Harry Reid.
Yes, this was not recent. This was when I was about 11 or 12 years old. It's a long story, but Harry Reid's son, Josh, and I have been friends since the sixth grade. I spent some time in Northern Virginia when I was growing up, when my dad was working in the Justice Department under Ronald Reagan's administration. Harry Reid was elected to Congress at about that same time, and his son and I became good friends. The Reids were the first real bold Democrats I ever really knew. And I learned that anytime I wanted to espouse the virtues of Ronald Reagan in the Reid household, I had to be prepared for a fight.
Wow. Well, that's a baptism of fire.
I've always gotten along well with the Reids. As long as we don't talk about politics, I get along well with them. But one day, Harry decided to lock me and my friend Josh in the garage and just see if we could figure out how to get out. He relented after about an hour and let us out. It's a fun story.
Okay, so he wasn't trying to keep you from going to a vote or anything, huh?
No. I could have invoked the speech and debate clause at that point and got my way out of that.
Well, thank you again, Senator Mike Lee. Again, the book is Our Lost Constitution, The Willful Subversion of America's Founding Document, and I'll post a link to it on the site. It's definitely worth reading. It'll really bring this to life, and there are some things that would cause, I think, a lot of people of concern for where we're headed right now. So thank you again for joining me, Senator.
Thank you very much. It's great to be with you, and I'd encourage all of your listeners to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon, anywhere books are sold, and buy a book. And if you like it, comment on it on Amazon. I always appreciate getting those comments.
Absolutely. Well, keep fighting for the Constitution in Congress, Senator. Thanks again.
Hey, thanks a million.
Thanks again to Senator Mike Lee for coming on the podcast to discuss his book, Our Lost Constitution. It's definitely worth a read. It's available in hardback and Kindle, and I'll post an Amazon link on the show notes on our website, so definitely check it out. You're going to love it. Now, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave us a review for a chance to win my book of the week. And if you like the show, then consider making a donation on our website or go to gofundme.com/kickasspolitics. This ain't some fly-by-night operation here, folks, and it costs money to do a show like this, believe it or not. So if you're enjoying what we're doing here, then maybe just send us a buck or two to help keep us going and to let us know that we're on the right track. It's certainly appreciated. I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickasspolitics.com, or you can leave a voicemail on our toll-free listener hotline at 844-KA-POLITICS. And in the next episode, we'll talk about the threat of EMP, or electromagnetic pulses. It's hard to imagine, but in one fell swoop, an EMP could knock out your cell phone, your computer, and even your car. But that's just the start. An EMP has the power to knock out the entire U.S. electrical grid, including our military and even the planes in our skies, all at once. This isn't science fiction, folks. This is a real thing. Right now, countries like Iran, North Korea, and Russia are working on weaponizing EMP, and the U.S. is a sitting duck, and we are entirely exposed to an attack. So my guest will be Dr. Stephen Vincent Pry, the Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security. He'll tell us just how vulnerable we are, how bad it could be, and what the government should be doing to prevent an attack. That's all in the next episode. In the meantime, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass Politics. This podcast may not be reproduced without express written permission. Kick-Ass Politics is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.